And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
From his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We get ready for Halloween weekend with plenty to do between now and 3. Coming up, the reaction to last night's Thursday night football. Going into that game, we thought that it included the front runner for MVP. And leaving that game, we should know it included the front runner for MVP. Get to that coming up. Plus, we'll preview the biggest games in college football this weekend. Get to our tasty top five. Preview game 3 of the World Series tonight and why it's such a big one. Where are we right now in the Gamecocks? After the way the season has gone so far, what's the outlook for the rest of this year and now the next couple of seasons for South Carolina? Plus, Clemson deserves the benefit of the doubt. We'll preview all the NFL games coming up on Sunday. Is Matt Rhule already bailing on the Panthers? I'll get to my picks later on. We'll catch up with someone who covers Florida State for the opponent's scouting report. And so much more. We'll pack it all into the next 3 hours. Do you believe in hauntings and ghosts? We'll get to that as well. All sorts of stuff between now and 3. You can always join the conversation. Now keep Monster Mash up. Come on, let's get some more Monster Mash. Why not?
That's going to be part of the beginning of each hour. So.
Perfect. Can't get enough Monster Mash. This has to be the best Halloween song, right?
But we have more.
I can't wait
now,
to
we have some stuff overlooked that came out around the same time as this one.
Oh, interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing it. The Monster Mash hit number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 the week of Halloween back when it came out in 1962. So it's always been a big hit. Was that the idea when they put this song together? Was this supposed to be a big Halloween song? Because it did come out in August. But of course, right, you want to put just like you want to put movies out in early October, give people enough time to watch. I guess you had to give them enough time to listen to this one. And Leon Russell plays the piano on this song? All sorts of Monster Mash insights. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing all the different theme songs throughout the afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about Halloween because this is one of the best weekends of the year. To have all the football going on and to have Halloween and all my scary movies on TV, there's not enough time in the day to eat all the candy and watch all the things that are going on this weekend. Can't wait. You can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Head on over there, click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted, or you can even take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Joe's on the steel wheels, as you've already heard. Joe, what's going on? You ready for Halloween weekend?
Yes, I am. I've always enjoyed Halloween.
It's the best. I love it.
Even if you can't go trick-or-treating anymore, that's you can still dress up and hand out the candy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I like to sit outside and watch everything.
Yeah, it's perfect. Now, I will say, Halloween, if you're handing out candy, now see, Joe, as he just said, he likes it, he sits outside, that's great. But if you're an NFL guy, we want to sit down and watch the games, Halloween's a little tough on the weekend. Especially if you have younger kids and you got to go out with them. And I get it, right? You're a family guy. You love your kids. It's great to see them dressed up and be happy and get candy. But, maybe you want to sit down and watch a little NFL football later on Sunday. Maybe you want to watch, they tell us, been waiting all day for Sunday night football. Maybe you want to watch America's team, the Cowboys, against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday night instead of going out trick-or-treating.
But thanks to modern technology, you can do both.
That's true. That's a good point. You know, back in the day, I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to remember back in the day, parents would have, like, the Walkman or whatever, like the radio if there was something going on. If there was, like, a World Series game going on or even, like, NBA opening night. And you'd see parents, you know, walking, and they'd be listening to the game or listening to something. Yeah, now you could just watch it on your phone as you go house to house. Right? But also, if you have the trick-or-treaters, you got to keep pressing pause if it's a big game. Like, I don't get any trick-or-treaters where I am. But, you know, and maybe it'll be too late anyways by the time they kick off the Vikings game. People usually go out trick-or-treating around, like, dinner time, really. But I'm going to be sitting there watching the I don't want to get up all the time and go to the door. So then I guess in that case you just put the bowl of candy outside, but then you know that's not going to last very long either. But you always loved those houses. You always loved when you found the house that had no interest in handing out candy. They put the bowl out in front, and you grabbed the whole thing. But you were always concerned. Is somebody actually watching? Is this some sort of trap? Am I going to get in trouble if I grab all this candy and take off? But you did it anyways.
But these days it would be a bit harder because of the security cameras.
It's true.
So
you got those ring doorbells, and you can yell at the kids as they do it. You can watch to see which kid comes and steals all the candy.
You damn kids!
Yeah. Come out and grab them. So anyways, we'll talk more about Halloween throughout the afternoon. It's one of the best times of the year. And then November 1st is one of the saddest times of the year because I look forward to Thanksgiving as well, but everything's gone. There goes the candy. I mean, you could get it on discount. The scary movies are off TV like it never happened. All the decorations and costumes are gone. It's a sad time. That's why we have Black Friday after Thanksgiving. It's why we have New Year's right after Christmas, because you need a little bit of a buffer. You need something to boost you back up right after a holiday. After Halloween, we got nothing. November 1st. Oh, okay. That's great. So enjoy Halloween this weekend. Hopefully you have your costumes if you'll be dressing up. And we'll talk plenty of football this weekend because we got a lot of great games going on around Halloween this weekend. But let me start with what we saw last night, the game that started the weekend. And we went in on paper thinking this is going to be the game of the week. And then we had all sorts of injuries and players missing. And you know what? It still turned out to be the great game we were expecting. And going into that game, Kyler Murray, I saw it build as Kyler Murray. Right? Watch front-running MVP quarterback Kyler Murray. And maybe he was the front-runner going into that game. And it wasn't like he played terrible last night that I came out of there thinking like, oh, he's not very good. He's been overrated. But I did come out certainly much more impressed with Aaron Rodgers. Now, I wasn't overly impressed with either team, I'll be honest with you. The NFC has the five best records in the NFL after last night's game. Between the Packers, the Cardinals, the Buccaneers, the Rams, the Cowboys. Five best records in the NFL are all in the NFC. It's the first time that one conference of the NFL has the five best records this late in the year since the merger, since we had these two conferences come together. So point being, we have never seen such a top-heavy or such a dominant conference at the top of the sport in the history of the NFL. We have never had the AFC or the NFC be so strong at the top as it currently is with these five teams. But did you watch those two teams last night? And the Packers weren't at full strength. But the Cardinals pretty much were, and they were home on a short week. Did you come away from either one of those teams last night thinking like, yeah, this is the best team in football? Or did you come away thinking, man, they made some mistakes. They're kind of lucky to win. Or the Packers, whether it was the muff punt by the Cardinals, the Kyler Murray interception that gave it to the Packers right in the red zone, the fact that Green Bay couldn't punch it in from the 1 yard line at the end of the game to try to put it away. And then the Cardinals on the flip side, at home, short week, the Packers are depleted. You still couldn't win. And when you had a chance at the end, you have the mix up in the end zone leading to that brutal interception. As Bill Parcells would say, you are what your record says you are. So I can't be too hard on the one loss Packer and Cardinal teams. But when you watch them, do you really come away thinking like, yeah, these are the best teams in the NFL? The Cardinals were fortunate just to beat the Vikings a few weeks back. Last night, had that costly interception that cost them in a game that they were favored by a touchdown at home and lost outright. And when I look at the NFC, it's still the Buccaneers. And then I think the Rams are close by. And then I think you have to take a few steps down before you get to the Cowboys, before you get to the Cardinals, the Packers. They may be good teams, but I think they are a lot more vulnerable than Tampa Bay or the Rams. I think those are much stronger teams in the NFC. But as I watched that game last night, it's why I am so impressed with Aaron Rodgers. And I hate to admit it as a Vikings fan. I cannot wait until the day Rodgers retires or goes to the AFC. I hope it's after the season that he actually finally bails. But he showed last night why he is so good. He is the only quarterback to ever travel two time zones on a short week and win. No other quarterback has ever done that in the history of the NFL. On a short week, right, playing on a Thursday night, traveling two time zones. He's the only quarterback to ever win. All other quarterbacks are now outside of Rodgers. They're, what is it, 0-14, 0-15? Rodgers has done it twice. He did it last year. He did it this year. Beat the Niners last year, a good team, right, who was in the Super Bowl the year prior. Beat the Cardinals this year, who had the best record in football entering last night. The only quarterback to travel that far in a short week, it's not easy. It's not easy to play in a short week, let alone travel across two time zones. To go from Green Bay to Glendale and go beat the Cardinals on the road, an undefeated team on a short week. He's now done it twice. No other quarterback has ever done it. Now, not all quarterbacks have even had that opportunity. It is a bit of a rare occurrence. But point being, no one else has done what Rodgers has now done twice. Additionally, he's now 7-0 in his career without Davante Adams, at least once Davante Adams joined the team. He obviously played a number of games before Davante Adams came into the league. But since they drafted Davante Adams, 7-0 when he does not play. 7-0 when he is not that number one receiver on the field for them. And last night, not only was he missing Davante Adams, he was missing three wide receivers. He was missing his left tackle. On the other side of the football, they missed their defensive coordinator, though their defense played really well last night. Best performance of the year for their defense, oddly enough. And his tight end got hurt. What was that, in the third quarter? Early on in the third quarter, Tonyan went down. So he's missing four weapons on offense, his left tackle. The defense doesn't have their coordinator. And he goes on the road and still beats an undefeated Cardinals team. In fact, without Davante Adams, not only is he 7-0, he has posted a quarterback rating of 120 in those games. Better than when he has Davante Adams. And I think there's two things to it. Number one, it's kind of like a marriage between those two. Just like you and your marriage, right? You get married to somebody, they make you a better person. They make life easier. You're more successful since you found the person that you marry. But most of us, not all of us, most of us can also function on our own. It may make it easier, but it's not like you couldn't exist without that person you found. Some people, that's not the case. Some people, right, you leave them alone. They don't know how to do laundry. They couldn't boil an egg, whatever. But most people, they'll be okay on their own. It may make things easier with that significant other, but they can still manage. And that's kind of like this marriage, right? Davante Adams makes things easier on Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, Aaron's just fine without Davante. He's not codependent on Davante Adams, as we've clearly seen. And the second part, too, is that Rodgers, we know, always has the chip on his shoulder. So I think he welcomes this adversity when people are doubting him. Short week against the undefeated Cardinals. Now you don't have Davante Adams. You don't have this receiver. You don't have that receiver. I think that makes him play even better, more motivated, be more focused. And Rodgers didn't play his best game last night, but he played well enough to win on the road. And now has won 10 straight primetime games, which is the longest streak for any quarterback in over a decade. And the primetime games are important. Everyone's watching. It's usually the best games on your schedule. You play good teams. Tough spots like this, going to Arizona on a Thursday night, and he won the game. That's where the best quarterbacks succeed. That's where the quarterbacks that we're not so sure about struggle, like a Kirk Cousins. Right? We always talk, oh, Kirk Cousins, he can't win on primetime. He can't deal with that pressure. Aaron Rodgers can, and then some. And he does it without his star receivers. And when it comes to primetime games, as was the case last night, you know, that's like when you go to the dealership or if you go to a showing for a house, right? And what do they want to do? Of course, they want to make it look perfect. You're going to come see the house for the first time. It's an open house or whatever. Everything, they want it to look so perfect for you, to be so impressed. When you come to see that new car, you're going car shopping, you got to be wowed when you see the cars. That's kind of like these primetime games. Thursday night football, everyone's watching. Maybe you haven't seen much of the Arizona Cardinals this year because, you know, they typically don't play a ton of primetime games. This year, they just happen to be the last undefeated team having a good year. And so that was like when you go look at those cars or when you go view the house for the first time that you may be interested in. Everything has to be perfect. And it wasn't last night. You know, that was like you see some cracks in the foundation when you go to the house. They didn't clean up one of the rooms. It's a little messy. Or there's like a towel on the floor in the bathroom. You know, like it looks good, but there's a few things here that leave me a little skeptical. That was the game last night. Well, yeah, I mean, both teams, a close game. Quarterbacks look pretty good, but there were some things along the way that leave you a little skeptical about those teams. Couple of pet peeves. Let me get these out of the way. The Packers had a chance to put the game away, couldn't score from the 1-yard line. I've complained about this before. I'll complain about it again now and in the future because coaches continue to do it. Why do you go from the shotgun when you need half a yard? I do not understand this. Football is supposed to be a physical sport. And if you can't gain a half a yard just by quarterback sneaking it or lining up and say the I formation or even just a single, just hand it off to your running back and pound it for 18 inches. And if you can't do that, then you probably don't deserve to win the game anyways. I think the Packers got a little too cute last night going into the shotgun. They had four opportunities to pound it in from the one. You're making a 18-inch run much longer. I don't understand it. And my other pet peeve that didn't play out last night, but just while we're on the subject, let me get it out of the way, is when coaches stack the boxes on themselves in those short yardage situations. The defense can only put as many people in the box as you allow them to. So in short yardage, put the quarterback under center, but spread it out a little bit. Don't go jumbo. Don't bring three tight ends in, because then the defense can pack the box as well, and all it takes is one missed block or one blown block or one defensive player making a great play to blow up the play. Spread them out, get the defense out of there, and take your chances of something like five blockers against four down linemen instead of putting everyone in the box so then they can respond. Those are my two pet peeves that drive me crazy. I see them every week in football in short yardage. Coaches continue to do this. I do not understand it. Get the quarterback under center when you only need inches, but at the same time, don't just pack the box either. The defense has to respond to you. Don't allow them to put everybody at the line of scrimmage when you only have to gain a few inches. You make it harder on yourself. With all that said, the Packers get the win last night, and it's why I said right off the top, we went into that game last night, people were saying Kyler Murray's the MVP. We should be leaving that game saying Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. And it gives me no pleasure in saying such a thing as a Vikings fan, but it's true right now. Because Green Bay has only a plus 25-point differential. That's 10th best in the league, despite the fact that they just played last night. Right, other teams haven't played yet this week. The Packers have an extra game. And they're still only 10th best in point differential. They average to win each week by only 3 points. Their expected win-loss record, based off of their numbers this year, they should be 5-3. They have two extra wins. And why do they have those two extra wins? Because of Aaron Rodgers. Most quarterbacks not winning that game last night. You put them on the road across two time zones, short week, without their left tackle and three wide receivers, and then a tight end for the second half. They're not winning that game against an undefeated Cardinals team. But Rodgers does. All right, Rodgers and the Packers overachieve year in and year out. And it drives me nuts as a fan of another team in that division, but I have to always tip my cap to them. They're only plus 25 in point differential. They have played statistically as about the 11th best team in the league, meaning it's a pretty average football team. Defense hasn't been great. Right, they've been missing some weapons on offense. Rodgers has played well, but even he hasn't put up the biggest numbers that he's used to. And yet, right, they have one loss, tied for the best record in the NFL, beat the Cardinals last night in a short week on the road. The Cardinals, an undefeated team. They continue to win these games that they shouldn't because of Aaron Rodgers. Also, it always seems like the Packers have a little luck on their side as well. And we saw that last night on the final play. If nothing else, the Cardinals were going to be in field goal range, send the game to overtime. In fact, Troy Aikman said it on the broadcast. Right? Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime. Yeah, so we thought. Until Kyler Murray throws that interception because he and A.J. Green, I don't know what happened. I don't know if A.J. Green was trying to run block. He thought it was going to be a run play. I don't know what that was. He obviously wasn't expecting the football. And it led to the game-sealing interception, and the Packers catch another break along the way and get a good win. They beat the Cardinals last night. Now, we like to bring you a sound check every once in a while and hear how it sounded on the radio. So we have a few of the different broadcast calls from last night of that final dramatic play in the end zone on how the game ended. Let's first hear from Packers radio, the Packers side, the winning side of the broadcast. They get the big interception to seal the deal. Here's how it sounded on Packers radio last night.
Snap to Murray, looks, throws right side of the end zone, intercepted, and it is intercepted by Rasul Butler, and the Packers get the dagger from the former Arizona Cardinal, Rasul Butler, making Rasul Douglas.
That's a little tough when you botch the name like that of your own, right, of the home team as well. Rasul Butler, that was an NBA player. Was there a football player as well, Rasul Butler? There was a guy who played in the NBA, Rasul Butler, and I think, unfortunately, he passed away. But that's a little tough. You screw up the name of your own guy in the biggest play of the night. Wayne Larrivee on the call for the Packers. Meanwhile, on the Cardinals side, I always like hearing the visiting side, right? The team that loses in dramatic. They're the home team last night, but you get what I mean. They were the losing team in dramatic fashion. Here's how it sounded on Cardinals radio with Dave Pasch on the call.
Murray in the gun, takes the shotgun snap, fires right side, back shoulder, and it's tipped. And is it picked off? Oh, my goodness, it is by Douglas. He picks it off. A.J. Green never turned around. It was a back shoulder throw. Green never turned. Douglas did, and he intercepted the ball in the end zone with 12 seconds left, and the Packers are going to win the game.
Great call by Dave Pasch, who's excellent. You, of course, always listen to NBA games and work with Bill Walton in college basketball. Great call. I love when you're on the losing side like that, you can still give a great call like that with good energy. And lastly, speaking of good energy, I always love to hear how it sounded on the Spanish broadcast as well. This was Fox Deportes, Spanish TV. Here's how the final play sounded, or the game-sealing play sounded on Spanish TV last night.
Centro alto, lo rescata Murray, el pase. Interceptado. Mamita querida. Rasul Douglas se encontró con la raya quemante cuando el receptor nunca volteó. Y ha caído el último invicto en la temporada 2021.
That's how it sounded on Fox Deportes last night. I have no idea what they said, but they nail it every time. And there's always something to the Spanish broadcast that it almost has like a musical rhythm to it. It almost sounds like a song when they get going after a goal or after a big play like that, and I love it. They nailed it again on Fox Deportes last night for that big play in the end zone for the Cardinals and Packers. Coming up, we'll preview some of the biggest games in college football this weekend because there are some good ones. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Just moved in my new house today. Moving was hard, but I got squared away. Bell started ringing and chains rattled out. I knew I'd moved in a haunted house. Still I made up in my mind to stay. Nothing was gonna drive me away.
Coming up, we'll preview the biggest games in college football this weekend here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio.
Had one big eye and a two big feet.
We'll have to circle back to this coming up in a little bit about a haunted house. Staying somewhere that may be haunted because I may have to do such a thing in a few weeks. So we'll circle back to this conversation a little bit later on this afternoon as we get ready for Halloween. We'll run through some of the biggest games in college football coming up as well. You can always join the conversation. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. Let's go to the phone. Sam is with us. Sam, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Happy Friday and happy Halloween.
Yes. What a great time of the year. What's going on?
Well, I got some great news to share with you.
Oh, yeah?
So I spoke with Coach Pat Kelsey today, this morning.
Uh-huh.
We are having our first rock party for the year.
Nice.
A couple of questions they ask you about something. So I spoke with Coach Kelsey today.
Yeah.
About the how the students spread out.
Uh huh.
What do you think about the protocols for the block party?
For the block party? Oh, I have no idea. It's outdoors, right? Will it be outdoors?
Yeah, it's going to be outdoors this year because of COVID, though.
Yeah, that's good. That helps. So just, don't be sharing things and keep a little distance if you want. But, outdoors, that'll be nice. It'll be good.
Well, I just let you know that our home game, home opener, is on November the 11th.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
You're going to come down.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing Pat Kelsey's team this year and moving forward. I think it'll be a good year. Let me ask you a couple of questions, Sam, while we have you, because it is Halloween, like you said. What's your favorite candy? If you go trick or treating, what candy do you hope to get? Number one candy.
Oh gosh, I never eat sweets, but I'll give you three of them.
All right, let's hear it.
How about Reese's Buttercups?
Of course. There you go. That's a good one.
Number two, I would say pretzels.
Pretzels, interesting. I don't think that'd make most people's list, but okay, not bad.
Number three, the only drink I love is Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola? All right. And what about you have a favorite costume? What's your favorite costume? When have you dressed up? You go trick or treating. You dress up for Halloween. What's the favorite costume you've ever dressed up as?
Well, when I was about 1 year old, uh-huh. I used to be Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Not anymore, but I'm gonna be a Bishop England grad.
Ah, there you go. I like it. Excellent. Well, appreciate it, Sam. Have a great Halloween. I'll come down to see the College of Charleston, their home opener, and I hope to see Sam in that Peter Pan outfit. Pretzels number two. That's an interesting take, because I think most people, you go to that house, and I know the houses growing up that used to give me pretzels, I think you leave very disappointed. I think those are the houses that have to be on guard for people coming back and egging them later in the night. But for Sam, he appreciates the pretzels. So how about that? Number two on the list. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
You know, if you want something a little crunchy with a little salty,
yeah,
then that would be Wheat Thins. That Wheat Thin thing.
Yeah? You want Wheat Thins on Halloween?
Yeah. It'd be cool with football.
You're the only one. I love a good Wheat Thin.
Chips.
I love a good Wheat Thin, but if someone's giving me a Wheat Thin on Halloween, I'm egging their house.
But candy-wise, I would love Snickers.
Snickers?
I'm a Snickers fan.
Not bad. I think Snickers is a little overrated. I'm not a big Snickers guy, but that's a classic. That's one of the classics for sure.
And who's Tampa Bay got this weekend?
They got the Saints in New Orleans.
Brady handled them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He struggled against the Saints last year. You think he got them figured out this year?
Yeah. He'll be all right this year, you know?
Do you think the Gamecocks will win the bye week this week, or are they going to lose?
They'll win the bye week because they've got nobody playing.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's good.
Unless they play Troy, they could win that one, I hope.
Yeah.
I think anybody could beat Troy.
If you were going trick-or-treating this weekend, what would you dress up as?
I'm too old for that right now. I have to go as myself, but...
Well, you are Super Dave, so that would be great. You go as Super Dave.
I could go as Michael Myers with the hockey mask.
Perfect. Even better.
Torment Bob, you know?
Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm going to have to go, you know, we got Cowboys-Vikings Sunday night. I'll have to go hand out some candy with Bobby and watch the game out on the porch. Sunday night football. We'll see if Dak Prescott plays. We'll do all of our previews for the NFL weekend coming up. I was considering, you know, if we were going to get a Braves-Red Sox World Series, I wanted to come up with something fun here for the shows. And then now we have this matchup, Cowboys-Vikings, which is perfect. But I'll be honest, prior to this Dak Prescott news, I wasn't confident enough in the Vikings. So I didn't want to broach the subject of making some sort of bet that I would probably lose anyways. Kirk Cousins on Sunday Night Football, I don't know, I can't trust it. But now that Dak is questionable and the Vikings suddenly have become the favorites in the eyes of Vegas, maybe we'll have to make some sort of bet. Make Bobby eat one of those nasty things I still have back there from who knows when. Eat some nasty food on air if the Vikings win Sunday night. 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Patrick in West Ashley is with us. Patrick, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, living the dream, brother. How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
First thought on the candy. I always come back to Twix, but, man, I'm not picky. As long as it doesn't have coconut, I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh, no coconut. I love coconut. Give me an Almond Joy or a Mounds bar. You're missing out.
Yeah. Just not a fan. I used to hate having nuts in it, but that doesn't bother me anymore. But I tell you what, man, I am a first-time, long-time, big Vikings fan, so love getting the Vikings input pretty regularly. I've never been one.
No, no.
Bikes.
All right, we got you back. You were cutting in and out. We got you now. We can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Long time, first time, big Vikings fan. Love listening to the Vikings input. Hopeful for Sunday, but we'll see what happens.
Yes. I'm hoping at this point that Dak Prescott doesn't play so that the Vikings will have an easier opportunity at home. But coming off a bye, originally open as an underdog at home, I do like the Vikings' chances. Mike Zimmer does well in these spots. Defensive coach against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are very reliant on turnovers. As long as you take care of the football at home, I think the Vikings can be okay. But it should be a fun one Sunday night, especially Halloween. Fans will be crazy, dressed up. It'll look good on Sunday Night Football. So looking forward.
forward to it, but it's a big game for the Vikings. They need to try to get a win to get over 500.
Yeah, I'll be streaming it on my phone while my kids are trick-or-treating.
There you go. Perfect. And take they'll leave them all the coconut candy, and you'll take, what was it, the Twix you said? Is that what you said was number one? Hey, there you go. Perfect. Go Vikings. Appreciate it. And we're having some phone issues there with Patrick. Appreciate it, though. Good to hear from you. I've heard from only a couple of other, I think like two Vikings fans since I've been in the area. Two or three. Always good to hear from a fellow Vikings fan. Appreciate you, Patrick. Call anytime. We'll get into our Week 8 NFL preview coming up, including that one, because now that has become a lot more interesting. The line in Vegas went from the Cowboys favored by 2.5 to the Vikings favored by 2.5. So they must know something or have a real strong feeling on Dak Prescott. And I was just texting with Bobby last night. He texted me and said, you know, what do you think about Dak? You know, do you think he's not going to play Sunday? And I said 95% chance Dak plays. I couldn't see it. But now I've been reading more reports here over the last going back to last night after that after I got that text. And I thought, why? Is this really a thing? Like, I knew he was injured. I knew he was a little questionable, but I didn't think it was that serious. And then I've been reading some reporters here the last 12 hours, and maybe Dak doesn't play on Sunday. We'll see. That really changes the game, hence the big line movement. All right, we got a lot more to do. We'll continue to talk candy. We'll preview the biggest games in college football. We'll get to more spooky tunes for Halloween. We'll try to blend the two together on a football Friday, get to as much football stuff as we can while not getting too distracted with the Halloween talk. Because this is one of the most wonderful times of the year. Who's this? Who do we got taking us out?
It is The Blob. Oh. Bye. Five Blobs.
All right. There you go. Very creative. When I hear The Blob, I think of heavyweights. But now, I got this song. Beware of the blob, it creeps. We'll preview some of the biggest games in college football. At least we'll try to, if we don't get off track again. And what's the outlook now for Shane Beamer moving forward with the Gamecocks after the way this year has gone so far? It's more Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I'm a mummy. I scare people. Watch what happens when I walk up to somebody. I'm a mummy. I was born 1,959 years ago.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll preview the biggest games in college football. Also, what's the outlook for Shane Beamer here in the Gamecocks moving forward now that we're at this point of the season?
I don't try to scare people. I really came back.
We'll get plenty of football previews in here over the next few hours. This song, though, this one is just ridiculous. The Mummy, as we get ready for Halloween. I just saw Kyler Murray, an article where Kyler Murray, I guess, said he signaled to A.J. Green last night on that final play, or essentially the final play, that he was going to throw a back shoulder fade, and I guess A.J. Green missed the sign, right? Much like a hitter in the box misses the hit-and-run sign, and you hang the runner out to dry between first and second. I guess A.J. Green missed the sign and had no idea what was coming or that the ball was headed his way in that interception. Meanwhile, the Dolphins, they popped their champagne last night, the 72 Dolphins, to celebrate. Larry Zonka posted about it on social media. So the Dolphins, that record survives another year as the Cardinals go down last night, no more undefeated teams remaining in the NFL this year. After the Steelers were 11-0 last year, this time last season, didn't we have like three undefeated teams still? This year, a little more parity, everyone with at least one loss. And the five best records all in the NFC. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's get back to the phones. Richard in Somerville is with us. Richard, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, bud. Little thing about the Vikings, since you're a fan, I'm an old-time fan, give you an idea. I remember all the old players like Purple People Leaders, Larson Marshall, Eller Page, Carl Koselke in the cornerback. Jeff Seaman is a linebacker, and a quick anecdote about them, they played 74 in Houston there for the Super Bowl, And my brother was a Dolphins fan. I'm a Vikings fan. So my mom made arrangements for us to meet the plane. Miami gets off the plane. Their players come out. They sign autographs, wave at everybody and stuff. Later on that evening, the Vikings come in. Bud Grant has the team come straight off of the plane onto the bus. No autographs, no nothing. And Jeff Seaman sees me standing there, and he takes the window of the bus and opens it up and says, "Here, kid, give me your autograph book." Hmm. So about a week later, we have a big banquet for Christian athletes. Miami sends Earl Morrill down there, a couple other players to talk and take pictures and stuff. And Bud Grant sends no one. So I tell my mom when I got home, said the Vikings are going to lose because they're not having fun. Sure enough, they lost.
Yeah, no surprise there. That's a great story. I appreciate it, Richard. Go Vikings. Look at this. Vikings fans coming out of the woodwork. Love it. Yeah, that's a great story. They went out and they got pounded by the Dolphins. That's Bud Grant's MO, though. You know, along the same lines, I remember I was in Boston and the Pacers were there for a playoff series. Now, they were the visiting team in Boston. They were taking on the Celtics, but Larry Bird was a total jerk when everyone was looking for his autograph, and he just ignored everyone and got right on the team bus. Some other guys were real nice. Scott Pollard, Jermaine O'Neal, Jamal Tinsley, some good guys on that team. But I always remember that about Larry Bird when everyone was going crazy for him. It's Boston, the city that made him. And he had no interest, blew off everybody, while some of the other guys on the Pacers were kind enough to hang out with the fans. And it wasn't like, hey, we got to get in the bus and go. Like, you know, there was a lot of downtime. We were hanging out at that hotel for quite some time as the Pacers were all getting ready. I mean, I sat in the lobby with Scott Pollard just talking. It wasn't like they were rushing to get to the arena and go play a game. They were just waiting around. So a similar experience with Bird in Boston all those years ago. Hey, Bud Grant, the Vikings, they were locked in the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they didn't go out and play like it in the actual game.
Well, shifting, Super Bowls. Yeah, shifting gears back to college for a bit. Dave from Georgetown called.
Oh, yeah? What did he have to say?
He wanted to point out, he wanted you to look at the differences in the scores from when South Carolina played Troy and last night's game between Coastal Carolina and Troy.
Yeah, but the
trend. And he says that Coastal would take the Gamecocks with, let's just say, not much of a problem.
I mean, maybe they would.
What do you think?
Yeah, maybe they would, but the transitive property doesn't work in really any of sports, but especially football. So you can't look at the common opponents and the outcome, the final score, like that. Now, Coastal Carolina, they may be good enough to beat the Gamecocks anyways, the way that the Gamecocks have played this year. Coastal's offense is obviously a lot more, it's a lot better than South Carolina. Just from an offensive standpoint, the Gamecocks couldn't keep up. The question would be if the defense would be tough enough, right? An SEC defense. Coastal Carolina is used to playing in the fun belt. It'd be a little bit different when you go up against SEC guys. So that would be the question for me. Offensively, maybe South Carolina, that's what gets that offense going up against a Sun Belt defense. So I have no idea. I'd be curious to look up what the spread would be. I'll go look up one of my sources to see what the spread would be. But don't use the transitive property in college football because it doesn't work like that. Any given Saturday, as they say, don't look at the final scores of common opponents or even wins and losses to compare it to another team. Just because you beat a team and they beat another team doesn't mean you could then beat that third team. It doesn't work like that. You still have to go out in the field and actually play the games.
Plus, there's one consistency about South Carolina's football team.
Yeah, what's that?
They've always played to the level of their opponents.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that this year. Just sneaking by Vanderbilt in the Troy game as referenced, and even East Carolina. They don't make things easy.
And then a lot of these guys were on the team a couple years ago when they beat Georgia.
Yeah, go figure. Which is a little bit like Dan Mullen. We'll get to that coming up with the Florida-Georgia game because Dan Mullen's another guy who, very much like Mike Tomlin, plays the level of his competition. His teams do. They lose games they never should, but then they compete in games that you wouldn't expect them to. And so Georgia, you know, I'm not going to put them on upset alert. I think Georgia will win the game tomorrow, but they are favored by at least two touchdowns. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a much tougher game for Georgia. We've got a lot to do. We haven't gotten to most of the things planned. That's okay. And we'll try to get to most of it throughout the rest of the afternoon. Such as, speaking of those Gamecocks, what the outlook is now at this point for the rest of this season and then moving forward for Shane Beamer. What should the goal be for next year and even for 2 years from now? The Gamecocks have reached their bye week. They're not playing this weekend, so it gives us a chance to sit back, look at the big picture here, survey how the season has gone and what we should expect from them now moving forward at this point. We'll do that coming up. Plus, Clemson deserves the benefit of the doubt. And we'll preview the biggest games of the football weekend as well. All right, what song is this?
Witch Doctor.
Oh. There you go. Is this where this is from? Or was this originally?
Yeah, Daceville with the Chipmunks.
Of course. Everybody knows that phrase, I guess, if you want to call it. We'll wrap up hour one when we come back for this Halloween weekend. And continue to get ready for the football weekend as well. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up hour one on a Football Friday as we get ready for the Halloween weekend and all the good football coming up as well. This is MC Hammer. Was this made for?
That was made for the first Adam Sandler movie.
That would make sense. I enjoyed those movies back in the day. I don't think I remember much of them, but I remember liking them. At least that first one. Then they came out with the second one a couple years later. And now they're coming out with, what is it, a new movie? I see so many commercials for it, the Addams Family. In fact, they do the commercials with, was it Progressive, one of the insurance companies. They come out with a new movie or a TV show, something with the Addams Family. I don't know. They're doing something with them. Bringing everything back these days. We'll preview some of the biggest games, both college football and the NFL, this weekend. You know, when it comes to Clemson, I think, deserves the benefit of the doubt this year. We'll look ahead to South Carolina and their outlook for the next couple of seasons. But for Clemson, right, the hope and what Dabo's really been selling everybody on is this idea that this is just a one-off. They'll be back next year. And we won't truly know. We'll have to wait and see. But you figure they're recruiting and the job that the coaches have done in the past and the success they've had, that you would expect them to be able to accomplish that once again instead of this just suddenly becoming the new norm for Clemson after the success of the last 6 or 7 years. Think back to Notre Dame, had a lousy year, went 4-8. 2 years later, they're back in the playoff. Ohio State had a losing year, and then Urban Meyer came and won a national championship. Right, programs can have a down year, turn things around pretty quick. Especially when you're that top program that gets the good recruits, it's hard to miss so often on those top recruits. More often than not, top recruits will hit. Some of them won't. And for Clemson, they're bringing in Cade Klubnik. That really is going to be the deciding factor. DJ doesn't seem to be the answer at the quarterback position. Can the next guy be? Similar to Spencer Rattler, really, you know, wasn't working out with Oklahoma this year. Caleb Williams comes in, so far so good. You can't miss on back-to-back quarterbacks. Then that's when you have a string of struggles. That's when things don't work. The reason why these programs usually can turn it around is because, all right, this guy didn't work. Well, the next guy probably will. It's not often that when you recruit at that high of a level, you strike out on that number of big prospects consecutively, especially at a quarterback position. That you bring in three straight quarterbacks that just, they're all kind of bust. They just don't work. And that seems to be the case with DJ. But just like for you and your business or your coworkers, right, you deserve the benefit of the doubt if you build up enough success. That one down year, one bad quarter shouldn't be enough to make you lose your job or for have your boss to doubt you or demote you or anything like that. You understand, hey, maybe it was just a bad month. You had a bad month. You had a bad quarter, right, maybe three bad months. That's okay. Let's get it back this quarter. Now, if it continues, if you were the top salesman in the company, and then for one reason or another, your sales drop off, you're slacking, and it extends beyond the quarter, you go a full year, calendar year, and your sales have really dropped off, and you have fallen behind, and you're not living up to what you were doing previously, then you start to look into that. Say, you know, is this guy slacking off? Is he taking it easy? Has he got some personal issues going on? What happened here? Once you have a larger sample size. And so it's similar for Dabo. If this continues, say Clemson struggles next year and then the following year. At that point, it's no longer an outlier. It then becomes the trend or eventually just the norm. And you wonder, you know, okay, what has happened here? Where have things gone wrong? What changed? But if it's just a one-off for one season and we won't know until next year, then of course you give somebody with that success the benefit of the doubt. Right? That it was just one bad year. Your top salesman, his sales dropped for one quarter, right, the first quarter of the year. Well, maybe it was just he had something going on. He had some family problems. Just business was a little slow. Whatever. He had a bad couple of weeks. He'll be fine. And if he bounces back in quarter number two, you don't worry about it. All right, that was the outlier. You write it off with your excuse or reasonings. And maybe, you know, he was going through a divorce. So that's what happened. Or one of his kids got sick. He had to deal with that. He was a little distracted. It could be an outlier, or it could become some sort of trend. But in the meantime, you give the benefit of the doubt that it is just an outlier. And in the case of Clemson, that they will be back next year because of the success they had in recent years. Now, this is a classic. Even though he didn't make any money off of it, right? Who's the artist of the song? Do you have it there?
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds too much like "I Want a New Drug" by Huey Lewis and the News.
Right. So didn't he lose all the rights? So that's a little unfortunate. But it's a classic, and it's a great song.
And the new movie comes out this coming month.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of old things they're bringing back, we got a new Ghostbusters as well. Hour two coming up next. We'll actually get to some of the games this weekend. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.